I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Why should we hire you?
Well,
I'm reasonable quality.
Welcome back to TF3, where this week we're at TF2. Adam is with family, and Kristen is with me. Kristen, welcome back.
Which is also with family.
Very good. Mutual. Those are the keys to my house. Now, Chris, you put out a question. We put out questions on Twitter before, and what came back was a really great question to start with, which was, actually, you put it out there again. So why don't you start this?
Yeah. So I've actually been trying to find who asked it because I feel terrible that I can't say them.
Let me find it for you. You start. You tell us who, and I'll find it.
So someone asked us who was the player that made us on the show fall in love with football, and I thought that's a great question because it's so kind of personal and yet so varied. So we had like a gigantic range of answers, everything from Peter Beardsley to Alan Johnston. There was Batistuta in there, Diego, Baggio, Waddle. I'm trying to find. There was Priya Ramesh, who's a very talented writer that tends to focus on the Dutch league. She actually cited Captain Tsubasa, who Ireland is a Japanese cartoon. I believe it's Japanese. And that was actually, funnily enough, the inspiration for Alexis and Iniesta, they said in interviews. So, yeah, it's a Japanese cartoon that ran from 81 to 88, so before you and I were even on this planet.
Any
yes, because he is, after all, 37. Yeah. It was a really nice kind of question to just hear answers on, because I think if there's one thing I've realized about Twitter is that so often you're kind of just throwing things out there that you want people to see. It's nice to kind of listen for a little bit.
Well, it was Owen Reed who asked the question in the first place. He said, which player/players made you love football? Chris, who is it for you?
I was thinking about it. There's so many kind of different ones. I have a feeling the one that jumped into my head was Peter Beardsley.
Yeah, Beardo is a good one, isn't he? You sound so similar at this point to Graham Hunter when he sort of does. I fell in love with football when I saw you. You know.
Yeah, it's him and I remember, like I said, the goal I remember kind of watching first, it was Zola's against Manchester United, where he dances down the right and then cuts inside and goes back across the goal. I just remember being so impressed that someone that small could be so kind of decisive. Because you watch football through a very different eye as a child, because you don't really have the context of everything. You think the biggest players must always be the best, and that's most definitely not the case. Is there anyone for you that kind of sticks out?
Loads. I mean, there's a kid. I'm trying to think of as a child who made me fall in love with, because I know now who makes me fall in love with football, and the obvious answer is Xabi Alonso. I love Javier Mascherano. I think he's got a great story in the first place. You know, when he came to England, he looked so fresh off the boat. Do you know what I mean by that? That he kind of had this scruffy haircut and this kind of fresh smile and this kind of slightly untainted way. And he slowly honed his skills, and it was just great to watch that he was clearly a great football player and someone with great motivation, and over time just learned, and especially next to other great midfielders like Steven Gerrard and Xabi Alonso, you know.
Mm.
And learned different things, and you know, was definitely pacey and all those sort of things. And then when he moved to Barcelona, acquired almost completely different set of skills, if you know what I mean. And just continued to grow, and there was something really satisfying about that.
No, I can believe that.
I'm trying to think who else. I mean, Michael Owen is a very obvious answer as a kid, but I don't actually think he made me love football. I don't think, like, looking back, I know that he made me like I wanted to go down to the park and score that Argentina goal, but I don't know if anything, if at any other point he sort of, maybe because he was heroed, but I don't know if it was him that made me love it, or so much just sort of media around him that made me love it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think, because he was a pace demon.
He was indeed.
David Ginola, maybe. I mean, Ginola was a good one.
Yeah. Ginola was so, in the wake of telling this story that I told the other day, when I was a youngster, I used to do modelling as a child.
Yes.
And one of the opportunities that brought around was Newcastle held a fashion show. This was kind of when they were trying to really break out and market themselves globally.
The World Wide Web?
I know. It was crazy. You could fax them your orders and everything. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, the four players they signed that summer were David Ginola, Les Ferdinand, Shaka Hislop, and Warren Barton. And they were in the show. So I got a day off school. I got, I think, the kits free. We got given to kind of keep them.
Do you still have those?
I don't, sadly. I didn't think to keep them. But the best part for me was they had erected a stage on the actual stand, so it kind of it was built off one of the vomitories, so you walked out onto the stage, and before because there was so much time just sitting waiting around, the kids all got to play football with the four players, and we got to have a kick around with them, and it was just it was absolutely brilliant.
That's outrageously good.
Yeah, it was an insane amount of fun. I think as I look back, that's one thing I'm really glad that my mum managed to organise for me, because it's a once in a lifetime pretty experience. I think I just had a good look at the time.
Sure.
And then,
did you have curtains? What was your hairstyle?
It's best be described as a mullet, kind of. Wow. Not as aggressive as you're maybe thinking. It was a lot softer. It wasn't shaved on the sides or anything. A bit, you know, Lawrenson at his peak when he was young.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically like that was kind of what it was.
That's an excellent hairstyle for a young man of your age.
I know. It's one that I have not sought to recapture.
I'm trying to think of other people. You know what? Zlatan wasn't really around. Tino Asprilla, I remember. I did actually love Newcastle. Like, there's something about Newcastle when you're a kid. The black and white kit, those sort of things that really make you like them. Pavel Nedved, I really liked.
Yes.
In his Juve days. But I wasn't very young then. Like, who did he play for before he went to Juve?
Lazio.
I wouldn't have seen a lot of him. And then before that, I was sort of assured that footballers were all bad, bad men. So I shouldn't follow them. And I shouldn't want to be like them. Not least, you know, sort of the drinking ones, and the ones who go out and do terrible, terrible things. Whatever that means. There was someone else actually, Chris, who, I can't remember who it is. If I find the question, then I'll say whose name it is. But basically it said, has Chris ever met any famous footballers? Chris, have you ever met any famous footballers?
I have, yes.
Who have you met, Chris?
This is going to sound very Dennis Penneth. Obviously, you and I have worked with Ian Wright. I've had lunch with him a few times. That's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, but Chris, have you met any famous footballers?
I'm trying to think if there's any I've met in bizarre circumstances. That's because obviously with work you meet a decent amount. I'm trying to think if there's any, unlike sort of in the mold of that fashion show that weren't kind of normal, expected. When I was a steward at Newcastle, I once had a nice chat with Antoine Sibierski as we were leaving the stadium at the same time.
And he said, "What? That's my car, mate. Don't sit on it."
He was carrying a box, and I said, "Oh, are you taking the rubbish out for us?" And then we started talking about Newcastle and how he was finding the area and all that kind of stuff.
And he said, "No, have you seen all our signings recently?"
Actually, in the same mould in that job, I don't know how I forgot this one, Juventus came to play a friendly.
Of course they did.
Excuse me. And there was a strict rule about you couldn't get autographs. It was just not the done thing. And I had been busted doing it twice already.
So sorry.
And I had accepted that, like, I was going to uni that September, so this would be the last time I would do it anyway. It just wasn't worth it. And so I picked up a Juventus shirt, went to the game, stayed afterwards, got to watch them train with Ranieri and Chiellini and all these great players, just kind of sat because security was lax with it being a friendly.
What was it like watching a Premier League win?
And then afterwards, they all kind of filed off. And I only wanted one player's autograph. Only wanted Del Piero's at the time. And so he kind of stopped and he had a chat with me and all this. And I was just blown away that this. I think he'd won the World Cup maybe that year.
What year was that? 2006?
2006, 2007, I want to say. So I think he had just won the World Cup.
He would have just won the World Cup then. Yeah, probably it was post-World Cup if they're coming for a friendly, wasn't it?
And I had learned, well, obviously, know a bit of Italian, so I had initially engaged him in Italian,
and he was
not knowing
that
he spoke
away.
English.
You're just like, see.
But I think, you know, funny enough, I look back on it, and I think that's what did me the favour, was that because he got the feeling that I had tried to kind of engage in his language, it seemed to kind of please him a little bit, so we stopped and had a chat about football and just... And it's one of those things. I've still got the shirt in my room. It's going to be framed at some point. There's Chiellini on there as well. Because he said, you know, just come through and the guys will pass through so you can just sign it.
No way.
So sadly, Nedved is not on there. Nedved did play, but I missed him just. And Trezeguet refused to sign it.
Really?
Which is very weird. I don't know why. He just refused. But Chiellini's on there. Ranieri's have been, and there's a few decent little names on there. But Del Piero's is there kind of on its own, so I think I'll frame it in a way that just shows off his, because he's just a player that I think is wonderful.
Hey kids, come over and hear Papi's story about when he met the team, and they will call you Papi. We both know why. Anyway, anyone else famous? I'm trying to think who else I've met. Pato was a good one. Pato was just there. You know what? There are times where you meet a footballer, and then there are times where you get close to a footballer. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. How are we forgetting the sneaker store story?
Oh my God! Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, Kristen and I made a podcast about a radio documentary series for TalkSport. Now hear me out, it was better than it sounds. And it was about, was this one the one about substitutes? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
The premise was super subs. And
the premise was, yeah.
The Royal Navy Reservists or something, or the Army Reservists.
Yes, exactly. And the thing was, we'd heard from a source that he was going to be at a local sneaker store where everyone sort of goes and it's a cool place, blah, blah, blah. And so we heard there was this event that night, and for some reason I knew the manager couldn't get in to actually speak to him, but was sort of allowed to wait at the door. And Chris and I waited for 4 hours for Didier Drogba. Was it four?
Yeah.
Three, 4 hours for Didier Drogba?
He was an hour late. That's what made it worse. He was supposed to arrive at 3, and we had politely asked, is there any chance we couldn't hang around? And he was like, look, I'm under strict instructions. No one else is in the store but staff.
Even though everyone else had gone in. I think it was because we were standing there with a microphone. It was sort of like, oh, okay.
And I had opted not to buy some expensive shoes. I think that didn't help either.
That didn't help, yeah.
But we waited and he was an hour late, and kind of we debated waiting around and all this, and it was, you know, it's a long time. And I remember saying to you, like, look, just do it, because if we go home now, we're just going to sit and wonder what might have happened.
Yeah, very good.
And sure enough, he came out at around 7, 8 o'clock, and he had two security and his best friend. And I talked to the best friend to kind of keep him busy.
And in that
and
time,
asked him if he'd bought shoes. And in that time, you interviewed him.
I enthused over Didier Drogba and went up. And I think we got one answer, which was like maybe three questions. And then at some point, he just looked at us and were like, oh, why are we doing this interview on the street? And then we just walked away. And we got what we wanted. And his voice ended up in said documentary. And was a great selling point for the documentary, because it turns out that if you can be able to say we have a Premier League footballer in it, more people are likely to listen. Excellent. Who else? I met Mark van Bommel, interviewed him. That was a lovely interview. You know what?
Oh, nice.
At the Adidas HQ, there was it was for like World Soccer magazine or something. I sat down with him and I said, listen, I'm really sorry. These are pre-agreed questions from the magazine. And everyone outside was like, oh God, he's going to be terrible. He's a terrible guy. Like, you know, you won't like him and he won't like you. Like, you know, he's going to hit you. I walked in and he was like, hey, what's your name? Lauren, so great. And by the end of the interview, like, we were touching each other's legs, weirdly. Like, he was leaning in and sort of being like, you'll never guess what. Like, if I could have gone anywhere in the league, I'd have gone to beep. I think it was Spurs at the time. And basically, it didn't end up in the interview because he was like, oh, don't tell anyone. And then, you know, obviously other people in the room. And then we went to interview. It went out afterwards, and the person who gave me the interview, like the PR guy, was like, oh yeah, we should do more of this because Mark really likes you. And I was like, wait, what? And I remember, you know, when you're a young journalist and you just get any affirmation, it was like, I'm good at this. Because this was not long after a terrible Wayne Rooney incident that we'll never speak of again.
Tell so that story.
I don't know if I probably can. Did I sign an NDA? Maybe I might have told it before on the podcast. I think I can. Chris, I told you this story. Yeah, I've definitely told you this story. I told Marcus this story. And Marcus from the Football Ramble always makes me tell this story again. I think he gets like great pleasure out of hearing it. I don't know why. In like a sadistic way almost. We were invited by FIFA through IGN, International Games Network, or whatever it is, Gaming Network, I don't know, to interview Wayne Rooney at a house which had been made up to look like Wayne Rooney's house.
Wow.
And in said house was a load of bloggers, so I was there for World Soccer Talk and IGN and a couple of other people. Tim Cahill, Jolyon Lescott, which tells you the level, and there's one other footballer, but I can't remember who. That's terrible. Anyway, everyone was there playing FIFA and sort of sucking up to Tim Cahill because he was in his Everton prime at the time. And Wayne was downstairs in the basement, and like bloggers were coming back up and they were like, man, I don't understand it. Like, I'm really good at FIFA. I was 3-0 up and then Wayne won 4-3. And we were all a bit like, oh, well, that's really weird. Like, that doesn't happen very often. And it was a bit like, yeah, it's almost like the game's been fixed or something. And it was like, oh, no, that would never happen. Anyway, somehow, miraculously, through this house tournament, which was also known as the House of Wayne, I'm not even joking. Wayne got to the final and played Jolyon Lescott. So we're standing there watching Wayne and Jolyon Lescott play, and everyone knows it's boring watching people play FIFA. So, sorry, I've said that during a generation which has actually developed to completely just watch people play FIFA. So I don't know what's going on. And so Wayne's playing, and Wayne goes 1-0 down, and this is the season in which I think might have been the first season. Might have been the season before City won the title. But anyway, everyone thought City were on to win the title. It was the season before Sir Alex got Van Persie. So maybe two seasons. But anyway, City were well on for the title, right? And Lescott was loving it. And Wayne Rooney's agent, who is called
Paul Stretford.
Paul Stretford. Is still his agent? Probably. When Jolyon Lescott scored the first goal, leant over the back of the sofa, put his hands on Wayne Rooney's shoulders and said, "It's all right, Wayne, you're still the best." And I just remember looking at it and being like, what the hell is going on? And so that finish, I think Les got one and Wayne was not best pleased. So we go back upstairs where I then have my immediate interview with Wayne after said time when Wayne has lost this game. I can't talk about the interview because I am actually NDA'd about the interview, but suffice to say, I did not get the information that I set out to get, which was whether Wayne Rooney played FIFA and whether Wayne enjoyed playing FIFA. And it ended with me being ejected from the room and sort of backed up against a wall by Paul Stretford, and Paul Stretford shouted in my face, "Next time you do your fucking job." And I just sort of sat there and was like, I stood against the wall, sort of like, I remember the PR guy distinctly. The PR guy came out to me and went, "Ooh, you messed up." And I just went, "Oh, great." And I thought I'd never work again. But who's bigger in the industry now?
How wrong you were.
Wayne. Yeah. Still you, Wayne. Still you. So it was
who's facing calls to be sacked and never used again?
Yeah. I never worked for IGN again, that's for sure, because it went through an approval process. They just withheld the tape. And so I was deemed as the person who made it difficult to get the answers, even though ultimately it wasn't me. Anyway, I've done plenty of successful interviews since then, as you will hear soon. Anyway, Chris, it's actually been really interesting to look down this list of football players that people still love. Yari Littmanen is a good one.
He really is, and he played for eons, didn't he? He was going, I think he went finished in Finland, went back back home, so to speak, and was still going.
Can you remember when he played for Liverpool for a little while?
That's the thing. There's so many clubs. There's Ajax, there's Barcelona, Liverpool, Fulham in there. Although I don't think he actually played for Fulham. Was it two spells at Fulham?
Jesus, did he never play for Fulham? He had two spells there. Whilst Christian mutes himself to go and find out.
Most definitely. Block.
Do you feel, what about Bergkamp obviously is in there. Some other people saying Paul Scholes. Someone else, what was this? I cry when he left Hearts.
That's Alan Johnston.
Alan Johnston at Sunderland.
Yeah, so two spells at Ajax, sorry. One at Fulham, didn't play for Fulham, then went to Lahti and scored 10 in 40 and finished at HJK in 2011.
That's actually not that long ago. Look up Yari Littmanen because he had great vision, I remember, and scored not many goals for Liverpool, but scored enough that he would be memorable in the same way as Fernando Torres did. That's a lie. Fernando Torres was much more prolific for Liverpool. You know what? Robbie Fowler was definitely someone who made me, and Steve McManaman made me fall in love. I'm trying to think who else. Suddenly, for some reason, I thought of Robbie Fowler with blonde hair and thought, love that man. Just a really good kid. Not Ian Rush. I wasn't all that bothered by Ian Rush. I'm trying to think who else, you know. It was, you know what? I'm not kidding. Matty Holland made me fall in love with football. I don't know why. I love footballers with tidy haircuts. Do you know what I mean? Like, a good bit of hair can make a player look so much more majestic.
Yes, I would agree with that. Pirlo being probably the best example, right?
But I didn't have sort of ready access to him. Do you know what I mean? And also, long hair is much more difficult to cultivate as a kid, whereas tidy hair is a lot easier to make happen, or at least you think make happen. There's a lot of people, Chris, answering your question right here. And I believe Fred actually might still be going on. Jay James says his is Paul Scholes. Paul Scholes is a good one. Someone else says Ashley Williams. He battles week in and week out with a genuine love for the game. One hell of a player. That's interesting because obviously he's sort of, you know, left Swansea under a cloud, would you say, Chris? Or is that not fair to say?
I could see a decent argument for both, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is a great fence sit technique there. You could. Sporting CP's Acosta. Ooh, Rui Costa. I loved him as well. He was good. I'm trying to think who else.
He was now Rui Costa was a player.
Never quite reached that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if he ever quite achieved what was expected in terms of his career. But on his day, he was. Oh, he could find holes in a brick wall.
Yes. Kaká as well also made me fall in love. I think certain players on certain games as well also made me love them. Kaká was fantastic on Pro Evolution Soccer 4 and 3. And had like just the best through ball to share. Gotta say, I liked Inzaghi as a kid. There's something that was really appealing about a selfish striker when you're a child. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Inzaghi was. He was. See, the thing is, my team never played against him, but I imagine in the same way that kind of whenever my team would come up against Ashley Cole, I would just. Yeah, I've just ended up shouting at the television. I imagine it's exactly the same with Inzaghi. He's a nuisance. That's the best way to describe Inzaghi.
What about Zizou?
Yes, I mean, we'll never contest he was talented. He's not someone that for me, kind of, I sought out, if that makes sense.
Good point, yeah.
Because that was the thing when we were growing up, to sound 40-odd,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You did have to do a little bit of searching to find football. It wasn't as kind of pushed as highly. So if you wanted to watch Zidane, you had to watch the Spanish game on Sunday at 9 o'clock or something like that. So it wasn't something I saw a huge amount of, but of course he's an exceptionally talented player.
Good point. Obviously, Chris, someone growing up in your area would be Alan Shearer.
Yes. He's not someone that ever kind of captured my imagination personally.
Yeah, why is that? Because he isn't the most... I guess he's not the most inspirational figure?
No, I would say in so many ways he's inspirational because, you know, as he himself says, he's just a sheet metal worker's son. Like, there's a lot to buy into there, and I see why a lot of people do. Personally, I always just appreciated midfielders because it was the position I played. So
he played deeper for a little while. I mean, he said he played, you know, when he played deeper, he was a good player for Newcastle. He was never a midfielder, I get your point, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he contributed. He would often put decent crosses in. I don't think his assist numbers were terrible, actually, for a forward. Mm. But, yeah, it was one of those things where I just kind of always gravitated towards midfielders for some reason. Or kind of those second strikers, not necessarily the number nines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I always feel that way about strikers as well. It's always the one... It's not always the one doing the finishing, but sometimes it is. Glenn Hoddle, the player... which Chris replied to, an important clarification. Glenn Hoddle, the manager, despite his religious or whatever views you want to call them, was a good pretty reasonable manager at the time. Cristiano Ronaldo, his personality, says Salah and Mohamed. That's an interesting one. Personality, I suppose, or the perceived personality. What about Clive Allen? I don't know much about Clive Allen, if I'm completely honest.
Nothing.
Nothing. No emotion. Raquel May, that is a great shout.
Yes.
Raquel May is a really good one, because Raquel May really did boss things, especially when he was at Villarreal. Villarreal? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Joe, Man City legend, was scoring goals for fun at CSKA at the time I started watching football, says Alexis Golitsyn. You're ever free, try it, says someone else. Peter Beardsley is also a good shout, like you said earlier, Chris. Raquel May is getting a good few shouts in the... Pavon, Carlos Pavon is a really good one.
I can't claim to know a huge deal about him, even though he's from the place that I kind of cover sometimes. He's not someone I'm hugely familiar with. But there are, to be honest, there are a lot of strikers in his mould, excuse me, in CONCACAF that have, let's say, less than spectacular club careers, but consistently find the net on the international level. So Carlos Ruiz is probably the best example. He actually just came out of retirement. And I, leading on from our initial topic, I actually met him after the game and had a brief chat with him in the hallway. Because he's a huge kind of MLS hero in so many ways, like anti-hero almost, and a bit of a character. And everyone wanted photographs with him. And I remarked, "Are you famous or something?" And he started to laugh. And then we were just talking about kind of a few different things.
There's a good answer to that. You actually reminded me as well of the fact that I followed the first teams that I ever met was the Canadian national team, who we followed for a whole Gold Cup, and because we were the only journalists who followed and covered them at every place, because, you know, for some reason Canada didn't care much, like those arsehole Canadians are, they gave us interviews with anyone we wanted. We got Atiba Hutchinson. We got, where is Atiba now? I'd love to know that. We got De Guzman. I can't remember who else was part of that team. But there was another guy who was a French Canadian who was just funny. And he was not particularly quick, but he scored a lot of goals in the tournament and did some good things. And was it Will Johnson. Good kid. He looked about five, but it was an excellent interview. And then we also met, who was the captain at the time? Paul Stalteri. Great guy.
Oh, yeah.
But a death stare if you asked a question which was anything but what he wanted to answer. Anyway, that was good. That was very close. And we were close with all the people in that tournament. And I've got to admit, it's always given me a bit of an enjoyable situation with any footballer at a lower level, because the Canadian guys were very humble with the way that we dealt with them, and, you know, they knew the good thing that we were trying to do in getting a closer relationship with the fans. And I really appreciated that, because as a young blogger, you always need, it's really important that you have people who partly believe in what you're doing as well as you, you know. At least it was for me, you know. And it was really good to get the validation from those guys and for them to be like, oh, we see what you're doing here, like, you know, you've driven what was 4,000 miles at the time to be here. And, you know, we took a few hours of a plane ride. Who else? And we also covered, you know, what was interesting was once we covered the Island Games for Copper 90 with Tom Deacon, and we went to the island, and obviously, you know, none of these guys are sort of massive international stars, although a few guys from Bermuda. We, by the way, it was in Bermuda. Incredible island, go and visit it. We visited Bermuda, and it was incredible, like just the best holiday / you know, filming gig you ever had. And basically the local teams all just were so interested, you know, it was teams like Bermuda and I'm trying to think who else. Anyone's on the island, so Faroe Islands, you know, Dominican, so many small islands from around the world. And essentially everyone gave you interviews because, you know, we were there. Greenland, I think, were there. We were the only people who were really interested in what they were doing. And it really sort of gave me an affection for those guys, because everyone realised, you know, essentially you can show everyone else what you want to say and do if you speak to the cameras. So it was very, very interesting. Chris, Rafa Márquez is a good answer, isn't he?
He is huge in Mexico.
Yeah, why?
I would argue because he kind of went to Europe. I mean, again, this is just my opinion. It's not rooted in fact. I sense it's because he went to Europe because he played at such a high level as well. He was at Barcelona and the kind of fandom that comes with that. He was also the captain of the national team, and I think that position, as unstable as the surroundings are, is very, very much held in high regard. And I mean, he was playing even in the Copa America in the summer, and was not embarrassed. Actually, I thought had a little bit of a renaissance. He was popping the ball around like nobody's business. I think he's just for what he represents. It's the idea of he left the country and achieved so much. I think they really appreciate that, Mexicans.
John Arisa, another person that I had a lot of affection for as a kid, just because he scored some incredible goals. I've got a question here for you, Chris. As Dybala seems to be the successor to Suarez at Barcelona, would Juventus want more for him than they did for Pogba?
What a question. I'm going to say no.
Interesting.
And if I was buying him, the argument I would make is there are a lot of players in his mold. There are not as many in Pogba's.
Very interesting point.
Supply and demand almost.
Chris, we have a point now where we will not break, but let's talk a little bit about fantasy football. Can we call it fantasy football? Yeah, absolutely. It's called FanDuel. And those guys are sponsoring the podcast. We've had some lovely emails from them over the past week saying there have been some great guys who have signed up using the code IAMTheHole. And just that anyone would go and do that in the first place, I was very impressed with from the podcast. But all two of you, thank you so much. I joke, it was three. Thank you so much for signing up in the first place and using the code IAMTheHole. If you haven't yet signed up for FanDuel, then go over there and have a go. If you do do like a fresh sign up, which I know is probably unlikely considering that you watch us on the Football Republic and so many other places that we promo FanDuel. If not, then still just tweet us and let us know that, you know, you went and did a bit of FanDuel and found us on there. I'm on it, LozCastTF3. I'm pretty sure you can probably find Kristen on there as well. Dave, you can definitely find on there. I think it's Dave Talks TF3. And Adam will be on there as well somewhere. I don't know what his username is. But anyway, the point is go over and play FanDuel because there are some fantastic options on there. And that was partly, Chris, another thing I was going to talk to you about was, you know, when I first got into fantasy football and first got into FIFA and all those other things, it expanded my idea of what a good player was. Did you have the same experience?
Definitely. I can remember many years ago playing, you know when newspapers used to do it?
Yes.
And I think you had to ring up a phone line or something. Well, my dad's work, I used to work at Nissan, and they basically took the prices and the, because they used to obviously release how many points each player had at the end of the week.
Yeah.
I think on the Sunday paper. And they used to keep track of it that way. And I remember agonising over who to pick in defence. I remember Gareth Southgate made it into our team because we looked at the table the last year and Borough had quite a good record. And Alexander Kleb was in there as well. It was the year that he joined Arsenal and I assumed he would be quite good. This was sadly not the case.
Why? What happened, Chris?
He just didn't get enough points. It was not as complex or engaging as the FanDuel models. It was a little bit more simplistic, and that didn't do too well for old Alex.
That's a very good point. Yeah, there are some good. Hold on a minute. There are some good options at the moment. I mean, I'm really enjoying sort of picking my FanDuel team. It sort of makes you look a little bit more into other positions maybe you're not so interested in, and you begin to appreciate players like Christian Fuchs, for a start. I think he has become somewhat iconic in the FanDuel community. Monreal is someone who gets a lot of good points as well. And there's... hold on a minute. I've got average points here. And there's someone else who's getting a lot of points, and at least average points on FanDuel. And it's Davis of Hull, or Curtis Davies. Is it Davis or Davies? I don't know how to say it, but he's doing a good job, as is Danny Rose, as is Scott Dan. And I don't know, it's just sort of leading me to appreciate more and more all these different players. Another one, Chris, James Milner. Another one.
Mr. Dependable.
Well, since he's gone to West Brom, Nasser Chadli.
That doesn't surprise me.
Why? Like, why would you pick Chadli if you're going to go for a team? Because the reason that FanDuel seem to like him is because he creates a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. His successful pass rate is fairly good. And not only that, but it's also about shots on target for him as well, obviously, considering his position and where he plays, which is also midfield. But considering how attacking he is, you know how good he is.
So, since he joined West Brom, he's essentially been given the keys to their attack, as they say. Yeah. And I watched him against Sunderland, and essentially everything runs through him with West Brom at the minute. So, he's always going to have passing options. He's going to get the ball a lot. He's targeted with the, kind of just playing off the forward. And so there's runs kind of either side. His goal, for example, it's a really good touch. It's a nice burst of pace and it's a shot. They've bought him essentially, as I say, to run the attack for them in the final third. So he's going to get a lot of those attacking opportunities that will kind of get you points and move you kind of further up. So it's a risk, of course, because there'll be weekends where he does absolutely jackedly squat and too much is put on him in terms of expectation. There will also be the same, if not more, weekends where he has an absolute stormer because he's been given the ball a lot and he's allowed to build that momentum in the game. That's the most difficult thing for an attacker, is building that momentum. Sometimes you have to do it very kind of quickly and just with a few touches, but if you're getting it a lot, it can be very easy to kind of have an influence.
And in that very game, Chris, he made 40 points on FanDuel with 4 chance created, 5 successful passes. Seems low almost. And 2 shots on target. An impressive figure. Now, Chris, tell me, who do you think so far this season has been the best striker this season on FanDuel?
The best striker this season. He's been in really good form early on.
I'll give you a clue. He's Belgian.
I was going to say Benteke.
It is close. It's his counterpart. Lukaku. Yes.
Fair play.
He's been fantastic this season. 6 matches and an average of 32.29 points. I know what you're thinking. Incredible. He's done very, very well so far. His best game so far was actually against Crystal Palace. Good for him. Good lad. Hold on a sec. I'm fantastic. Roberto Firmino, Chris, also seems to be a bit of a surprise package this season. Why is Roberto Firmino becoming the surprise package of the Premier League?
I think a good portion of this is the spaces and the running that he does. I would imagine if you looked at the distance covered numbers, he's not top of the table every time. It's where he chooses to run. He's always trying to find space and peeling away from the main action, which might sound counterintuitive to someone in his position, but actually it really helps because it makes a really difficult situation for the defender because he has to choose, do I follow him? Do I stay? It's very confusing in that sense for a defender, or can be. And like I say, in general, I think to look at things away from the field, he's a year into the Premier League now, so he's settled. I think he understands the nuances a little bit better. And he's playing in a very good team. I think you can't overlook that when you're trying to pick players to really score you those points. Who currently is in form. It might seem great on paper to get a player that is doing really well. But you need to look at how they're performing week to week to see if you can get them in the middle of that form rather than the tail end of it.
Very good point. I'm trying to look for some other questions for you right now. I think there are some good questions out there. Keep them coming in. #IAmTheHole. we will answer more on the weekend. Chris, with the international break coming up, what kind of stuff do you sink your teeth into as an international journalist? Anything going on stateside or sort of conquer side?
The US are playing Cuba.
Is that competitively?
I don't believe it's competitive. I think it's a friendly. But it obviously has a lot of much wider picture ramifications. Those two countries have a very tangled history. Seemed as if they're building bridges. I mean, you look at someone like Ozzy Alonso, who was a Cuban international. He defects, is in MLS now. I think he hadn't seen his father for 8 years because obviously he couldn't go back. And, you know, it's not always easy for people to leave Cuba to go to the US. So there's that. In general, I tend to use the break as an opportunity to catch up on what's just occurred. Because you really can't keep abreast of everything in detail. So these breaks are a good chance to go back. And often when you study those things with a little bit of time between them, you come away having much better formed opinions from those who analyze it.
That's a very good point. It also gives you a bit of time to sit back, look at who's doing well in fantasy, and begin to sort of form a plan for when they get back. Because the good thing is you can look at what they're doing away on the internationals and be like, ah, should some prices be higher? You know, will Lukaku play well for Belgium while he's away? You know, will Firmino? I think Firmino and Coutinho both got called up for the Brazil squad, so it's worth looking out for them. Go and look at your team reports. Go and look at all the team reports and sort of go down the route of, ooh, you know, what information can I pick up here, which will be handy later. I always find that good because, you know, essentially you can get better at a game. Ibrahimovic also very high up there, but obviously he's retired now. It's the international break. Chris, thoughts on Southgate and the England squad?
It's
not corrupt.
You're right. It's all above board. Southgate, as you said the other day, there, he's a nice guy. I question his ability at the top level. Because actually, when
it doesn't have to be a long term thing. It was a lovely short term arrangement.
It's a short term thing. It's respective minnows for the most part that he's going to face. He just tanked so horribly with the under-21s at the last tournament that I'm concerned that the same will apply. I mean, he's working arguably with much better players. It's all just a little bit disorganised, England, at the minute. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it all feels a little bit weird, there's not an identity there. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that seems very clear.
That's sad.
Yeah, Chris, in other headlines, obviously, Joey Barton and his Rangers issues. He's been charged by the SFA with placing 44 bets on matches, allegedly, one of which was against Celtic losing hugely.
Yes.
That's great, isn't it?
Joey Barton is someone that thinks he's a Lipizzaner, but really is a Shetland pony. I don't denigrate his desire to improve himself and grow as a person. I don't always know how true to the process he is, though. I sense a lot of it is superficial improvement. And he certainly stoked the fires when he went to Rangers. He talked about being the best player in Scotland and all. Great, I'm sure that does a lot for the marketing of Scottish football. So often, though, I just wish it was actions and not words with Joey that were positive.
Sometimes it was actions in the past. And you know what? There's a reason why he keeps returning to football, essentially. Partly money. But you do also sort of worry for the long term for any player like that. Chris, have you looked through this list of players, the 60 of the best young talents in the world that has been put through by The Guardian just today? Some great names in there. I'm just wondering if you've picked anyone out, because there are some good, apparently from the Bosnian Luis Suarez to Milan's wonder kid, obviously Donnarumma. Who have you seen this list?
I did. I had a scan through it this afternoon. It's on my reading list, so to speak. One of the names that jumped out is Isak of, I think it's AIK. I've seen him very sporadically while his career's kind of started. He does look very talented, I must admit. The difficulty with this kind of thing is they are so young that it's players that could could very easily flop in that sense. There really is no guarantee that they do anything of note.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to. Well, this is the thing. It's always fun to kind of check through. You know, the Golden Boy Award? That's always kind of fun to revisit every year and see. I'm trying to think, what was it I did recently?
Do you compare how many of the Golden Boy winners are still around?
No. That was it. I did a Benega piece in
Ava,
the summer for Yahoo. And I went back to look at the under-20 World Cup in Canada, I think in 07. And I looked through some old FIFA documents that outlined the best players of the tournament. And there were some obvious names that have, you know, come to fruition with that potential, but then there are some that I've just never even heard of, and it's good to kind of, albeit a little bit schadenfreude, I guess, to go through and just see where their careers ended up.
Yeah, but it's an interesting point, because especially as we're talking about our favourite players, where they all end up. Another person sort of chiming in on Twitter for saying Thierry Henry was one of the players who made him fall in love with football. And I had to say, I have to agree, because he was so young and enthusiastic and everything was just so positive about him. I absolutely loved Thierry Henry when I was younger. And obviously some fantastic goals as he got older. He really was majestic, wasn't he, Chris? And you know what was great about him was he was not only good in adverts, but he was as good in the adverts as he was in real life and vice versa.
He was. Henry was an image as well. That's something I take away from it, is those players who, it wasn't just how they played, it was that kind of they merged into pop culture. So they became something bigger than themselves. And I think he definitely did that. It often arrives via boot sponsors and things like this. But that whole period in general, that was, to me, that's when I look at Nike and think, yeah, that was when you guys were probably at your best relative to just before and just after, because you had the advert on the boat where they played the 3v3 with the silver ball.
Yep, absolutely fantastic.
I had that ball, funnily enough. I had the small version for it to play in the schoolyard or school playground with, and god, the amount of times I sat in my living room and was essentially recreating that.
Yeah, and in your mind, all that other stuff is happening around you.
Mm. You just try and do the tricks, you know. You try and do the stuff that they do. That's the fun bit. It's very much watch and repeat.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, this podcast has gone all over the place. But here we are, more or less the end of it now. Don't forget to head over to our FanDuel. Remember, you can't play it during the international break, but if you have signed up already, then thank you very much for doing so with the code IAMTHEHOLE. And you know, thanks a lot for listening in the first place. It's been fantastic. I hope you've enjoyed our videos that we've been putting up on Twitter. We've got one out of Chris at the moment, a few days ago now, of him talking about Bob Bradley. We will have one out very soon and previewing the games for when we return in a few weeks, one in Germany, one in England, which will obviously be Liverpool versus Manchester United. And obviously Dave will be back very shortly on his return from Germany. There's a lot to come up on TF3 post-international break, and we're looking forward to having you guys with us. Chris, in the meantime, where can people go find you? Statman Chris?
Yes. Twitter at @KHENEAGE. Facebook. Try to think if there's anything else. Yeah, yes, you're already
sex.
Here. So.
Oh, now I've got your...
Yeah. It's just a desperate attempt to try and get people to engage.
Yeah. Yeah. And did it work?
Nah, not even close.
You good. Anyway, it's been great to have you guys, and we'll see you again real soon on...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
TF3.